Aircheckdownloads.com.
It's October the 14th, 1985. 10 years to the day since Victory began broadcasting a new kind of radio to Southern Hampshire, West Sussex and the Isle of Wight.
Be a soldier of the free, send a friend with a smile of victory. Sunshine Radio, Victory Sounders Stereo.
For the very first time in the south of England, with the time just gone 1 o'clock, on Tuesday, October 14, 1975, on 257 metres medium wave and 95 megahertz VHF in stereo, this is Radio Victory. My name is Glenn Richards, and together with almost 90 other people, some which you will never hear, and to whom I now pay tribute for their hard work and time, and above all their love that has brought you your station, I begin, and we all shall continue to try and bring you everything that touches you.
In my most secure moments, I still can't believe I'm spending those moments with you. And the ground I am walking, the air that I breathe, are shared at those moments with you.
In 1975, commercial radio itself was still something of a bold venture, and every one of the original 19 stations to come on air a kind of experiment. The Independent Broadcasting Authority had deliberately sited stations in a wide variety of towns and cities to see how well different communities would respond to commercial radio. And so it was that Portsmouth was one of those pioneering towns, and Sound Broadcasting Portsmouth Limited, the successful bidder for the contract to supply the service. 10 years ago today, Sound Broadcasting Portsmouth effectively became Radio Victory. A proud moment and the culmination of months of frantic work by scores of people. Bruce Jenkins was the company secretary in 1975. Now he's our managing director.
The actual time when it was coming close to our first switching on of the switch to send out our signal was something of calm day. Having gone through all those hectic months in preparing everything, there seemed to be a calm as we switched the switch on and transmitted for the first time. Absolutely exciting. And I think the period after that, the 10 years, has continued with that excitement. I don't think there's been ever a dull moment within the building right the way through.
It was wonderful. I was in the kitchen cooking lunch and suddenly it came on, and I've been a good listener ever since. I enjoy listening to it because it's so different. There's something for everyone in the family. And if I didn't enjoy it, I would tell you I didn't enjoy it. Point blank. Anyone that knows me would vouch for that.
Listeners across the area were hearing stereo radio made in Portsmouth for the very first time. Getting the music from the record to the radio was the daunting responsibility of Chief Engineer Russ Tollefield, who had to build a highly complex radio station very much from scratch.
When I first came here in April of 1975, the building was no more than a shell divided into three large areas with the original structural walls. The upper floor was still being used as a badminton court and a social area for Boy Scouts and such people. And there were grooves in the floor of the lower area, which indicated where the studios had planned to be. We had only one room that we could work in, which later became the newsroom, and is now our master control room, central apparatus room. There were five of us who set up office there, and we had three telephones and one table, and that caused no end of confusion. Everybody's piles of paper were on top of everybody else's. But we got through that okay. Caroline Marshall used to sit in the corner. She was the MD's temporary secretary.
The day we went on the air, well, I remember, because I was on reception there, that everybody, we had two great big speakers in reception those days, and everybody gathered in reception for 1 o'clock when we went on air. And it was fantastic. It didn't seem real to me when I actually heard it coming through the speakers, because obviously by that time you've got to know the presenters and you didn't feel like you were working in a radio station. But when it actually went on air, it was just great. And I remember the programme controller at that time was so overcome, he was in tears.
The car park was like an Amazonian forest. It was completely overgrown. That had to be converted, and I remember that we struck a very good deal with some passing gypsies who came and tarmacked it and gravelled it, and did a very good job for a very knock-down price.
What we were trying to do was put some good music across with an element of change, which is quite difficult because people tend to get a solid idea about what should be in the charts and they like that. And we were just trying to be a little sufficiently different, perhaps playing a few of the West Coast sounds of the United States and going for things like the Carpenters, easy listening rock music. And we based our programming philosophy on that.
Andy Ferris was part of the original broadcasting team on Victory 10 years ago today. Now, nearly 3,000 programmes later, he's won a unique place in the hearts of Victoryland.
I was the third man on air at Radio Victory. When I say that, of course, there's newsreaders on before me, but we'd had Glenn Richards open the station up and Dave Christian thereafter, and I was the rock jock in those days. I went on from sort of 6.30 till about 8.30, playing all the heavy tunes and that kind of thing. Everyone's very nervous, but elated, you know, they're all very up on that day. It's a very important day, and we had a very, very experienced team, so it was exciting and everybody was having a good go. There's a huge amount of people from the industry here to see us off, so it was a great day and everyone was very nervous. And I had guests from abroad at home. Some of my in-laws had come over from abroad. They were all sat at home listening to it, and because of that I was a little extra nervous, I guess.
1975 was a good musical year to start a radio station, with the country singing along to chart hits from David Bowie, Rod Stewart, George McRae, The Four Seasons and David Essex, as well as Bob Marley. But Victory was never intended to be just a music station. Local radio has to be all things to all people, and everybody wants to hear the news. The station put together a strong team of journalists to produce and present its current affairs output, including Chris Ryder, recruited from IRN in London. 10 years later, he's our news editor.
Reading the first bulletin was a real sense of occasion, because every newsroom is very, very proud of its bulletins. But one thing I soon learned after reading the news was that you get a very, very good feedback from this area. When you read news in London to the entire country, nobody makes a comment, nobody says a word to you, because nobody knows anybody else. But in this area, we found over the last 10 years that people come back and tell us what they like and don't like, and you build up the picture. And that picture started to build up from that very first news bulletin.
Especially the Falklands. When you went all through the night. I'm not a very good sleeper, and I enjoyed listening, and I thought it was good to be able to keep up with the news so quick. Anything that was taking place, you had it.
Radio Victory, the 10th birthday. Everything that touches you, Victory. We're reliving the atmosphere and the music of October the 14th, 1975. Well, from the moment Victory opened, one of its most apparent characteristics was its friendliness. That's a word you hear time and time again when people talk about us. In fact, some recent independent research proved that we're one of the friendliest radio stations in the country. It showed that as many as two-thirds of our listeners have, at some time, got involved with the station, either by writing in for a dedication, phoning up our programmes, winning a prize, being interviewed on the news, or coming to see us at one of our outside broadcasts. That figure, 66%, is one of the highest ever recorded for a British radio station.
My main recollection of Radio Victory going on air was the poor managing director, Guy Payne. There we all were, crowded in reception, waiting for the magic moment when Glenn Richards would open the station with its very first jingle. And poor Guy had been working for months, probably years, to get it all together. And at the precise moment that we went on the air, some little old lady wandered in, bless her heart, into our reception here, and buttonholed Guy and said, Guy, I'd like to make a complaint. I don't know what it was about, but poor Guy bent down and listened very carefully to what she had to say, and he actually missed the opening of his own radio station. I'm happy to say that we haven't had a stream of complaints ever since, very few in fact, but the very first one, be it minor, came at that precise moment. He was such a gentleman, Guy Payne.
I'm very thankful to them for all the requests they've played for me. I've had two very good phone calls, because there used to be a person-to-person phone call on Sundays. And I phoned my friends in Australia, and another one in Bermuda. which I would never have done if it hadn't been for Victory, because I could never have afforded a phone call, and about 5 to 10 minutes talking, which was great, absolutely great.
In 1985, the managing director of Radio Victory is Bruce Jenkins.
Personally, a very good 10 years. The excitement I had in working in the station with all the staff, who I count as friends as well as staff, absolutely tremendous, exciting. I wouldn't have changed it at all. There's been so many achievements personally by individuals of the station, but I suppose overall the achievements of Victory, Radio Victory as such, would be creating a new sound, a new medium, something that hadn't been heard in the area, that typified the area, linked all sorts of communities together. And leading from that, I suppose the thing that I find the greatest achievement, and I would hope all those people working at the station would agree with me, that it's the friends we've made, both on and off air. We've been able to be a friend to them, linked the area together from the Isle of Wight to Petersfield, through Chichester, across to Southampton, say. Great, in my opinion. That is the achievement.
We have a radio in every room, excluding the bathroom. And it's the dial is set to Radio Victory. We have no other station that we listen to. And every now and again, my husband has to test them all out to see if they're working on other stations. He twiddles the knob. But that is true. Every room we go into, I don't miss anything. I just switch on to the bedroom. And if I'm downstairs, it's in the kitchen. We have never turned to another station since Radio Victory came on.
On October the 14th, 1975, a small crowd of people, nervous, exhausted but elated, gathered in a converted Church Institute building in Portsmouth to put a radio station into the history books. The station was Radio Victory, and we're 10 years old today.
Touches you is love, and Glenn Richards saying welcome with all the love in my heart to your station, Radio Victory.
Victory, victory's winning, victory's winning, friends all the time. Victory, victory's winning, victory's winning, friends all the time. Everything that touches you.
Checkdownloads.com.